Welcome to Scope It Out. In this edition, Dr. Smith will be speaking with Dr. Greg Davis on the article Gorilla Endoscopic Sinus Surgery, a life-saving collaboration between human and veterinary medicine. Scope It Out is made possible by support from Fiagon and Karl Storz Endoscopy America.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Scope It Out, the podcast of the International Forum of Allergy and Rhinology. I'm your host, Dr. Tim Smith, and today I'm very happy to be joined by, second-time guest, Dr. Greg Davis from Seattle, Washington. We will be discussing his article, which is currently available online and is entitled Gorilla. Yes, I said Gorilla Endoscopic Sinus Surgery, a life-saving collaboration between human and veterinary medicine. Greg, welcome to the podcast.
Tim, thank you for having me. Excited to be back. I appreciate this and all the podcasts that you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, this is an unusual and fascinating case indeed. I mean, where do we even begin? Our patient is a 435-pound male silverback western lowland gorilla named VIP, like V-I-P. Living at the zoo in Seattle. Your manuscript has a picture of him. He is an incredible creature. Take it from there, Greg. What happened?
So this is fascinating. This 430-pound gorilla, he's the alpha male, and VIP is his name. You're right. It stands for Very Important Primate. No kidding. That's his name.
I like it.
He's the only reproducing male gorilla at the Seattle Woodland Park Zoo. So it started off with a message for me to call Dr. Collins, who I didn't know at the time, but he's the head vet at the Seattle Woodland Park Zoo. And I called Dr. Collins, and he said, hey, I have a sick patient I'd like you to come see. And he did say, come see, which was odd. You know, I thought maybe it was an inpatient in the hospital at the University of Washington Medical Center where I work. And he says, well, it's a gorilla up at the zoo. And I kept waiting for the punchline. I thought it was you, Tim, or one of my other rhinology friends playing the trick on me. And after I said that to him, he says, no, this is really Dr. Collins. We have a very sick gorilla. Would you come and take a look? And so myself, as well as Dr. Hillel, who's one of our laryngologists at the university, he's donated his time to the zoo for years. And the two of us took a field trip up to the zoo and met this very charming, sometimes ornery gorilla named VIP.
Okay, so a gorilla named VIP, and you can't really examine this gorilla, I would assume, except from a distance.
Well, that's what I thought, and they said, we want you to examine him, and I have no idea at this point what they really mean. So we went to the behind-the-scenes area, the sleeping chambers of the gorilla group, the VIP's group. And fortunately, there's a nice heavy-duty cage between where you walk in and see him. And before that point, though, the gorilla keeper said, okay, you can't look at him in the eyes because of his soft voice, and you have to sit on this little stool. I'm terrified at this point, Tim. I mean, my heart's racing.
Yeah.
I see this huge 430-pound gorilla, and he's not that tall. You know, he's about as wide as he is tall, and his muscles are just enormous. And so I sat down, and what was interesting is just the relationship, this wonderful relationship the gorilla keepers have with the gorillas. They were able to get him to stand there in front of me. I could shine a light in his nose. They've taught them how to open their mouth, and I could look in.
Now, couldn't he reach through the bars and grab onto you? Or is there, like, some kind of plexiglass or something?
Oh, there's no plexiglass, unfortunately, and that's probably going to come up in our conversation later.
Yes, I know where that's going.
He was able, so he can get his fingers through the bars, but not his hand, his arm. So you still wouldn't want to sit right next to it. So I was able to look at him, and at this point, he was sick. He had been on culture-directed antibiotics that they had swabbed his nostrils for about 2 to 3 months. And
back up there. How do you swab a gorilla's nostril? I mean, could the trainers do that?
They can, and they did. Yeah, along with the veterinarians that
do
this to him. So, again, these gorillas, they're taught to come up to the cage for medical examinations. They're taught from a young age with good positive reinforcement. When they need their vaccines and injections, they're taught to present their arm to the bars so that they can get an injection. It's pretty amazing. And it's all, again, all positive reinforcement. They save, you know, their favorite treats for when they do things like this. So that's my examination. Looking in his nose and his mouth, there's certainly no endoscopy with an awake gorilla. So at this point in time, we then left and met with the gorilla keepers and the vets and kind of came up with a plan to do culture-directed antibiotic therapy with steroids, with oral steroids. And the funny part was there was probably a group of 10 of us. And I said, and if this was a human patient, we'd have them do saline irrigations. And I said, can you guys do that? And one of the keepers looked at me and he says, you do it first. I said, okay, we'll skip that part. So he just went on medical therapy and started that for about 5 days, and it seemed like he was doing a little bit better, but then he took a significant turn for the worse. By that, I mean he stopped eating very much and stopped interacting with his female companion, and so that they called me and said, well, this isn't working, now what? And that was a tough question. The, you know, the issue was whether or not to get a CT scan to see if he had a tumor or just chronic sinusitis and what was going on with that.
And would the plan have been to get the CT scan and do surgery under the same anesthetic, or do you have to stage those things?
Well, a great discussion. So putting a great ape like this under general anesthesia is a bit risky. You can imagine how you would emerge this patient from anesthesia. There's really no jaw thrust. There's no bag masking. It's kind of they pull the tube when they're ready to breathe on their own. So it was a risky endeavor, and the ability to get a functional operating room, which the zoo has an operating room, but they don't have any of the endoscopic equipment that we use. So we figured the first step would be to get a CT scan. And so we were able to get VIP off-site to one of the local radiology companies in Seattle. One of the board members, Dr. Liddell, is a radiologist there, and he donates a lot of his time and his services to the zoo. So we were able to get a CT scan and VIP the gorilla, which was pretty revealing.
And it says that anesthesia, I'm quoting from your manuscript, anesthesia was initiated by intramuscular injection by a remote drug delivery system. So I'm picturing a dart or something.
Yeah, that's, I learned in writing this manuscript, that's the appropriate way to say a dart in their literature. So they darted him with the medication to give him some initial sedation.
And interestingly, it has ketamine in it, which can have amazing sort of results in situations like this or young children who need something done in the emergency room.
Right.
Okay, so you get your CT scan. It shows pretty severe sinus disease with some bone erosion on some of the cuts. And there's a concern, as you mentioned, raised about whether this represents a severe form of complex chronic rhinosinusitis versus some form of sinonasal neoplasm or tumor. You all have the discussions about the best way to proceed, and after all of this, you determine it's best to move forward with sinus surgery. So tell us about the surgery itself, the sinus surgery. What is that like in a gorilla?
Sure. So at this point in the CT scan, it certainly was looking pretty grim. The decision wasn't quite made for surgery. There was still a hope that medicine would work. He had only been on his combination for about a week. And trying to get the setup, all this equipment in to do surgery was probably going to take some time. There were some ethical issues to figure out if doing surgery on a gorilla like this it would be possible. So it really, we kind of waited a week, and then his condition rapidly deteriorated. And that's where he stopped eating and stopped drinking, and there was discussion about euthanizing him. Then we all got back together and said, well, can we do surgery? And I called many of our friends from our surgical device companies that support our sinus surgery courses and asked them if they would mind donating equipment to the zoo so that I could do this surgery on the gorilla. And just like the first conversation I had with Dr. Collins, I think most of the people I called thought I was joking. It's a pretty strange request. And the issue is that we cannot or should not use equipment that we use on humans on animals and then use it on humans again just because of the concern for transmission of diseases.
Right.
So we use the equipment that we use in our cadaver dissection labs, and you know, it's state-of-the-art equipment. It's all perfectly sterilized, but that's what we did, and we planned to do it literally within a few days, and that's really all they thought that VIP had to survive. So these companies were very generous in overnight airlifting their staff and their equipment to the zoo, and then we proceeded to do the surgery.
And I imagine you had to rely on image guidance to a large degree, just given the anatomy, the differences of anatomy.
Correct. So not only that, and that is probably the biggest issue, the difference in anatomy, but just the horrific nature of his inflammatory disease.
Yeah.
I mean, it everything on the CT scan was completely grayed out, as well.
And
as
he was dying from this infection based on your description. I mean, he had moved into the fetal position at the zoo and really wasn't getting out of that. So they were really convinced he was dying from this.
Correct. Yeah. So that's what certainly factored into the decision. This was not just something to go try on a gorilla. This was a life-saving attempt.
You found a purulent material in the sinuses, I presume?
Correct. So I had wonderful help from my circulating nurse, my scrub tech that I work with at the university, and one of my residents who happened to be on his rhinology rotation. Everybody donated their time and set up all the equipment. It really seemed like a same-day surgery that we would do in our hospital. And once inside the nose, it's kind of that first look within 1 or 2 seconds when you look in a patient's nose, you know how that surgery is going to be. You know if it's going to be a straightforward, easy surgery or a hard one. Mm-hmm. And the degree of inflammation in his sinus lining, his nasal lining, was just immense. And I included some of the videos on the online version of this manuscript that shows the degree of inflammation.
Right.
So it was challenging. And once I kind of got my landmarks down and opened up his maxillary sinuses, there was just very thick, inspissated, really fungal-like debris within the sinus. It turned out it was E. coli and no fungus at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. And so it sounds like postoperatively, he actually bounced back pretty quickly and started acting more normally on postoperative day one than he had in recent weeks, but then pretty quickly had a setback as well.
Right. So the first few days he did very, very well. He was eating again, walking around, and you know, I was on top of the world, very, very happy. And then I got a call about 3 days later, and it was from Dr. Helmick, one of the other vets there, and she said, yeah, something's wrong, Greg. Vip's not doing well. And what happened is between the CT scan and the surgery, the soft tissue of his face dramatically swelled up.
Mm-hmm.
So much to the point that using the tracing on the image guidance did not work. I had to use point merge on the bony structures to get it to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he had so much soft tissue edema, and what happened was he fistulized. So that soft tissue edema was really the precursor for subcutaneous infection that had eroded through his maxilla. And he fistulized through his submandibular space in his right lateral orbit. And at this point, I was very, very concerned about his survival. And I had a discussion with Dr. Collins, who is so experienced and know these creatures well. And he says, you know, let's just give him time. These gorillas have amazing immune systems.
Mm.
They changed antibiotics. You know, essentially he had a nice thorough washout. And he was right. He made excellent progress over the next several days.
Wow. And then, gosh, he really, a few weeks later, was able to return to public viewing, and I'm quoting from your manuscript, he resumed normal male gorilla activities. What's a normal male gorilla do, Greg?
Well, I think they do two things, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think normal gorillas, they eat a lot.
Mm-hmm. No.
And they socialize with the female gorillas, and so they have quite a robust sexual practice with their female partner.
Yeah.
And once that was back in place, we knew he was going to be okay.
Right. And in fact, he fathered a child, or a baby gorilla, I guess, after this. Is that right?
Yeah, he did. And that was just about 6 or 7 months later, we had found out that his wonderful girlfriend, Nadiri, was pregnant with their child. And she's a beautiful little gorilla named Yola. And she's at the zoo now. I think she's about 2 years old now, or just about 2 years old.
That is
but
great.
There was another setback, believe it or not. And a year later, I did have to take him back for a revision surgery. And then that was really just to clean the polyps along the skull base that I had left the year before. I was very, very concerned about skull base erosion, which he had on his CT scan, and left the polyps along that space. And then when I went back, I brought some friends with me. I brought my allergist who did allergy testing on him, and it turns out he's allergic to dust mites and some other things. So now he's on fantastic allergy medication. And I brought my cardiologist as well, who did an echocardiogram, as the male gorillas, their primary cause of death are cardiac-related disease.
I'll be darned. A cardiac-related disease in the male gorilla.
Yeah, so unfortunately, just recently, one of the other male gorillas at the zoo passed away from the same disease. And there's actually a countrywide research process going on, research program on these male gorillas. So from time to time, they will get echocardiograms to assess for this.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of my favorite photos, which you did not include in your manuscript, but you have shown me before, is a picture of you standing nearby Vip's cage in scrubs, and you appeared to be showered in gorilla scat. I think that's the appropriate name for it. What happened there?
So this was why I would hesitate to do too many post-op checks on your patients. So I went, this was about 7 days after surgery, and he still wasn't feeling good at this point, but I went in and I sat down on my little stool and wasn't making eye contact, and he charged the cage and slammed the cage right in front of me. And I don't think I screamed too loud, but I was pretty scared.
Yeah.
But the wonderful gorilla keeper next to me, Stephanie, she says, "Oh, it's okay." And then he threw some hay at me. And I was like, "Hey, Vip, you're feeling better. That's great."
Yeah.
And Stephanie said, "Uh-oh." And all of a sudden, head to toe, I was covered with hot, sticky gorilla feces. So the post-op check was over. I knew
him
as well.
Right.
And I went off to take a shower.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I mean, it's a fascinating story. And how's Vip doing today?
He's doing great. So I saw him, you know, I check on him every now and then just because he's practically part of the family now, and I enjoy seeing the gorilla keepers and the vets as well. But this past summer, I got a call from Dr. Collins, and Vip, my buddy, all of a sudden had an acute swelling of a known ventral hernia. And Dr. Collins says, "Greg, what do you think about this?" And I said, "Well, I think I should call a friend." So I called Dr. Wright, one of my good friends who's a general surgeon and does quite a bit of hernia surgery at the university. And he came up, and it turns out the patient had an incarcerated hernia, and they ended up doing emergent surgery that day.
Oh,
that
wow.
day, again, to save this guy's life. And so a few weeks later, when they took him back to kind of clean up the wound and take out some sutures, it gave me another chance to look up with the endoscope and apply some mometasone steroid-releasing implants. And he was looking quite good. So he still has some inflammatory sinus disease, just like any patient you would expect. I can't get him to do the desonide irrigations like I would like. But good allergy control. I think he's going to be okay. But, you know, his saga may not be over.
Yes. How old is Vip now?
He was 35, so he's probably 38 right now.
38. And life expectancy is probably closer to 50.
Well, that's ideal. And
I see.
They do have some gorillas that get to 50. Now, in the wild, it's much younger, in their 20s. And in captivity, they live longer, usually into their 30s. So he's already kind of approaching the last phase of his life. So we'll see how he does. And I'm just glad he has the care that he does. The care that the gorilla keepers and the vets do for these animals is truly amazing. And one of the key things that I learned from this experience is that all zoos need our help. They really do. They have expertise in taking care of these amazing exotic animals, but there are many times where they need human physicians and human surgeons to help them out. So if there's anyone listening that has a desire to do something like this, and even if it's just give advice from time to time, talk with your local zoo and talk to the head veterinarian and offer your services for volunteerism.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's a great way to volunteer to the community. And I thank you for helping VIP. I'm going to be up in Seattle this summer, and I'm definitely going to stop by the zoo and see how VIP's doing myself, Greg. Thanks again. I'll invite all of our listeners to go onto the website of the International Forum of Allergy and Rhinology, where you can download Greg's article, and you can also download some videos of the examination of the surgery itself. Greg, thanks again for being a guest on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Tim. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. Scope It Out is a co-production of the International Forum of Allergy and Rhinology and Wiley. All opinions in this podcast are those of Dr. Smith and his guests and do not necessarily reflect those of Wiley or of the sponsors.